So I get to speak about what's up in Debian from the bits from the cabals. A lot of people say we don't have any, and I think that's not true. So I've contacted them individually and tried to get some information out of them. But a disclaimer just up front, the person that was actually supposed to do this talk had to cancel, couldn't do it, and I kind of jumped in the last minute. I'm not trying to excuse myself before the talk. I'm just trying to say that don't necessarily rely on everything I say. I try to make it represent reality as much as possible, but I may not have all the information, and I may have some errors in there. I can, however, if you are interested in a particular subject, get you in touch with the person to talk to. So if you're interested in a particular subject, come to me afterwards, and I can tell you whom to contact to get the official information. So let me start off by looking what we did in 2007. Debian is the project, and this is only an excerpt. We were in Sydney. I wasn't, but some people were. MiniConf 6 in Sydney happened. Shortly afterwards, FOSDEM, the European Developer Meeting, took place in Brussels, and Debian was present there, including a MiniConf and also a booth that we had with t-shirts and automatically displaying installers that went through all the languages, and it's really funky and cool. Just before we released Edge, we had a new DPL, French guy, Sam Hoseva, who has been making some good progress so far, as far as I can tell. Then we had our annual conference, this time happening in Edinburgh in Scotland in June of 2007. We participated in the Google Summer of Code, and a couple of nice projects came out of that. Scala Linux, Debian EDU, the sub-project of Debian that specializes on Debian for schools, has released their version 3.0 in August. We attended FrostCon. That's, I'll say, just another open source conference, but it is one that has the potential of replacing the very well-known Linux Talk, which has been taking place in Germany over the last years and sort of is starting to fade away a little bit. So this conference is taking over, and Debian is very, very closely involved with the organization of FrostCon and also has a booth there and talks. A couple of us went to the free and open source conference in India and represented Debian there. And then just before the end of the year, we had a QA meeting in Extremadura in Spain, where a lot of interesting results came out of it. These meetings are usually 3-4 days. QA people get together and just implement something. So there are no talks, they just sit together and hack. And what we got, well, I'm going to talk about it a little bit later, about some of the results. There were also a fair number of bug squashing parties. We started off 2008 already with a bug squashing party in Zurich, and there are more to follow. So previously, the bug squashing parties always happened just before a release was, or just after it was frozen to get the release critical bugs out of the distribution. But now we're basically starting more and more to do them throughout the entire year, just to keep bugs down. If there are any questions during the talk, please raise your hand, and I'll try to address them immediately. So I've broken this up a little bit. First of all, I want to talk about changes that happened in Debian approximately over the last year, which are relevant to the user. I'll give you an outlook of what's going to happen in 2008, very incomplete, because we never know what's going to happen in 2008 until next year when somebody stands up here and talks about what happened in 2008. And then I'll give you some data on what's happening on the development side. What are some recent news and what are some trends that we're currently seeing? So without further ado, here is some user-relevant stuff. And I'll start off with security support. And who of you guys know that we have a testing security team? That's the majority, I'd say. That's pretty good. The testing security team was started a couple of years ago in order to actually add security support to our testing release. And they're making really, really good progress, so that testing is becoming closer to production use, actually. And I know a couple of people who are now using it in production, because security bugs tend to get fixed faster in testing, actually, now than in stable. But that's simply because in testing, we don't have to compile them for all architectures as we do in stable before making the release. And we also don't have the embargoed issues as strictly as with the stable release. We have some very, very good news on the side of the security team. We have three new members that joined, and one existing member got promoted to the full staff member. We kind of distinguish between, I don't know what the term is for this, for the helpers, the assistants, who basically get to do a lot of work and have access to the embargoed issues, but they can't make announcements or publish security updates. So only the full members can do that. And, well, one of the guys was promoted. So we actually have a functional security team again. If you remember around the time of the release of Edge, Debian had no security support. This has fortunately been changed. There's a better cooperation between the two teams, testing security and stable security. And the trend that we are seeing is that in the near future, I'll say that, we will not separate between stable and testing in terms of security support, but rather between embargoed issues and non-embargoed issues. Keep the team that works on embargoed issues very small because of the issues involved with it, and have a larger team work on non-embargoed issues and then deal with stable and testing at the same time. Then Lenny, our upcoming release, will actually feature most of the requirements we defined in the security hardening spec. And these are basically a couple of compiler and linker extensions and flags that are being passed to all the programs. And Lenny will support this. So Stack Overflow and buffer overflow issues and all that kind of stuff should hopefully, all these runtime issues should hopefully be dealt with better in Lenny than they are currently. Then we're working very, very good on translating and internationalization. There's a new project that was launched last year, which is called the Smith Review Project. And basically what it does is it looks at package descriptions and tries to correct common English errors, make it be proper prose what we're writing there, and also just make sure that when you read these descriptions, you actually get to know what the package does. So 150 packages have been or are currently in have been processed or are currently in progress. 101 of those have already been fixed. There are 32 patches currently waiting for application, and 18 packages are being worked on as I speak. These package descriptions are now translatable. That's part of the same effort, so that we will hopefully soon be able to provide what we have in Edge currently, 58 languages for package descriptions. Lenny is likely to feature 77 different languages. That's I don't have the map on there now, but there is a map for the translation project which shows how we are covering the world, and it's basically all covered very soon. Did you put up your hand for a question? No? All right. So some news are also taking place on the ports front. First of all, we retired the Spark 32 port in July. Sad, as it is always, but I don't think very many people were using that, especially, correct me if I'm wrong, but Spark 64 actually supports Spark 32 as well, backwards compatible. Lenny will officially support GNU K FreeBSD, which is the FreeBSD kernel, together with the GNU user space. So that's definitely very exciting news for people who are hanging onto the BSD kernels and are somewhat fed up with Linux heading more and more into being a multimedia operating system. And we have a new archive, debian-ports.org, which is replacing the unofficial gnuab.org, and will host the unofficial architectures such as the little Endian ARM port, Hurd i386, and the two K3BSD ports until they are going to be officially supported by Lenny. Then, also on the user front, there's some news on package searching. The who of you guys know the project DepTags? That's not very many. Around 2004, Enrico Zini, an Italian developer, started to tag packages and defined a taxonomy for tagging them so that you can now actually search packages. His main beef is always that when you look for image editor or drawing program or something, you don't get GIMP because that's an image manipulation program, right? So he wanted to address that and tag image editing programs with one common tag. Now these dev tags, they have been making very good progress, and they are now integrated into the main index files. So they, in Lenny, you can already now use them with aptitude in Edge, but with Lenny, it'll be even more supported. You will be able to see like packages that are related to this package show up specially. You can already, if you go to packages.debian.org, you can already see the sort of information that you can get out of this. There's also Also Enrico, he's the one working on all of this. He has written a Xapien-based program that indexes all of the Debian metadata and allows actually your own packages to register plugins such that more data are being indexed. And if you know Xapien, that allows you to do wicked fast searches and also allows you to do fuzzy searches. So finding packages in Debian with deb tags and app Xapien index is hopefully going to be a lot more user-friendly in the future. There's a tutorial. These slides are going to be available, and there are some links here. This one is a link, for instance, and then later when you look at them, you can actually directly surf to the page. Now here's some miscellaneous stuff I couldn't put anywhere else. Debian Med, which is the Debian ported to the medical research and also the practitioners domain, is nearing a 1.0 release, which will possibly give us an advantage at making Debian the preferred distro in the medical application, medical domain application. We have a lot of new mirrors, 6 new official mirrors, and about 100 new unofficial or secondary mirrors that have joined the network. So Debian is becoming pretty much like almost like archive.org for software packages. A lot of upstreams are starting to use our servers to provide their tarballs, because we always provide the original tarball alongside the packages. We're now almost entirely UTF-8 based, so Edge already installed UTF-8 by default. Lenny is going to be even better integrated. There are some efforts on the front of porting existing software that don't support UTF-8 yet to UTF-8, and we can only hope that Unicode is going to be even better supported in Lenny. Deselect is almost retired. Who of you uses Deselect still? Yes. I'm sorry, guys. Why Deselect is being, Deselect is basically was replaced by apt. Deselect is depackage based, which means that it kind of gets all the, it has all the metadata, but it doesn't work on a higher level. It doesn't actually work on a graph. And it was always very difficult to resolve conflicts with Deselect. And it worked, and a lot of people use it, and I realized that, but it is not really maintained anymore, and apt has replaced pretty much all of the functionality. If you're a Deselect user and you like the GUI, use Aptitude. It's not that different, and it's now the default, actually. Debian upgrades don't happen with apt-get anymore. Ideally, you use Aptitude upgrade to do it, or safe upgrade, I think is what previously was called dist upgrade. Please use the man page to verify this. The number of games in Debian is rocketing upwards. There's a lot of work happening on this front, and that's I don't actually play games myself, but I still think that's a very good piece of news simply because it's going to make it more attractive for other people to use Linux or any Debian derivative or Debian itself. And then there's Edge and a Half upcoming. Who of you know what Edge and a Half is? Very few. So basically what has always been a problem with 2.5-year release cycles is that kernel 2.6.8, which is in Sarge, or even 2.6.18, which is in Edge, is horribly outdated. And if you buy a new computer, you're unlikely to have support in the kernel from the stable archive for your hardware. And so the kernel team has agreed together with the security team to release Edge and a Half, which is going to happen in the upcoming weeks. And that's basically going to be adding the 2.6.24 kernel to the stable archive. It's not removing the 2.6.18 kernel. You don't have to actually upgrade. But you will also be able to use the 2.6.24 kernel with security updates and all that. So I think that's pretty good news, especially on laptops. Yes? What's going to be the default kernel if you install? I would think, I don't actually know this, but I would think it's 2.6.24 following the next R release. So once we have Edge R3 or whatever is pending, the installer will install the 2.6.24. That's not, don't hold me for it, for this information. All right, so what's going to happen in 2008? I mentioned a couple of these things. Let me skip over those conferences. I don't want to steal too much of your time. I already mentioned the Debian Med 1.0 release, Edge and a Half. There's one conference I do want to mention, and that's DebConf 8, which is going to take place in Argentina in the beginning of August. You're all cordially invited. It's free. to attend, not to travel there. It is far, I know, but it is a beautiful holiday resort that we're going to be inhabiting. It is winter, though. Oh, well. Registration is required if you want to go, but there's also a link here to the webpage. And then we're actually planning to release Lenny at the end of 2008. Now, that's planned release, right? As it is with Debian, right? So, let's go on to the development front, and there is a big change that has happened here. You no longer need to apply to be a Debian developer if you all you want to do is upload your package to the archive. We have a new concept that is called the Debian maintainers. We have a new keyring for that. We have an application process that is simplified over the Debian new maintainers process and basically has the goal to allow people who are already maintaining packages and who are currently going via sponsors to upload their own packages to the archive directly. So that should hopefully improve the workflow and productivity of these people because they no longer depend on sponsors that are continuously unavailable. But basically, that's it. So I actually like the status very much because when I think about 1,050 Debian developers all having write access to the entire Debian archive, I kind of get a little shaky. You know, I'm not trying to say that Debian developers are per se people who would like to subvert other people's systems, but you do make errors even as a Debian maintainer, right? Or Debian developer. So by limiting the amount of damage you can do in the archive, I think the entire project is gaining from it. And I think Debian maintainers is going to grow a lot because a lot of people don't actually care about becoming Debian developers and doing the entire new maintainers process just in order to be able to upload their own software to Debian. So the question was whether we should convert some existing Debian developers to Debian maintainers. This has been, I'm not going to give you my personal opinion, which is very clearly yes, we should, but I won't give you that. it has been discussed for years on end how can we get rid of a couple of these developers. Of the 1,050 developers that we have, I speculate that around 400 of those are inactive. They don't even care about Debian anymore, yet they are in possession of, or not anymore, a GPG key that has write access to our archive. So there's security issues here, and I would ideally like to reduce that number. I don't want to kick people out. I just want to make sure that people who don't want to be Debian developers anymore don't have write access anymore. There's been progress on that front. The MIA project, I think it's called, Missing in Action, project is trying to figure out who is not really contributing anymore and pinging those people. And if we don't hear back from them within 3 months or something like that, an endlessly long period, then they are being put onto the emeritus status, or they're definitely graduated, so they can always come back, but they don't have write access anymore. Whether we should now move existing developers to Debian maintainers, I don't think we can. I don't think it's going to happen because it is somewhat of a degradation. I don't want to say Debian maintainers is an inferior status to the Debian developers because, to be honest, it isn't. Every single contributor to Debian is important. Translators are possibly more important in getting Debian out there into the world than a single developer is. So these people are definitely important. But if you are a developer and now you're being removed from voting rights and private access and you no longer have access to the infrastructure, which is all possible that this is going to change in the future, but it's sort of a step down. And I think we should give the option that a person can say, I don't think I'm a full Debian developer, please downgrade me to Debian maintainer, but I don't think we should do it to people. Is that the opt-in process? Yeah, and that might, we'll do that when we froze Lenny. Yeah, that might speed things up. I don't know if this is a good idea. Debian has this very strong inertia. And any such radical changes are basically going to cause massive flame wars, which have become rare in the project. But they will continue. They will reappear if we do this sort of thing. And I'm not sure we're actually going to be wasting our time on that. I think small steps is... I just think small steps are going to take us further in the long run than radical things like that. But please feel free to write your suggestion to the Debian project mailing list and do install a mail filter if you do so. Well, no, the build. If you upload your package, it will be built for all our architectures. But we have a couple of separate machines that you can use, which I call the infrastructure. We'll have an ARM machine that Debian developers can use to test stuff. Debian maintainers don't have access to those. Now, if...
they should.
I'll say they could. I personally have never used the Debian ARM machine to do testing because I personally don't need access to that machine. Now, if a Debian maintainer is maintaining some ARM software, he or she will probably get access. But it's not included by default, as it is with Debian developers. All right. Has everything been answered on Debian maintainers? Yes, please.
As someone who's not a Debian developer, can you give a general idea of what discussion happens on Debian private, which apparently
So the idea of Debian private is to have a mailing list where issues can be raised that are not necessarily for the public. And possibly the most common use of Debian private is to announce that you're going on vacation, simply because you don't want Google to index the fact that you're inviting intruders to your house for the next 3 weeks, right? We do use Debian private occasionally for some personal issues, like there have been some previous members of the project that have caused serious problems. And in order to not affect their online persona by having massive discussions about how they are horrible social people in the Google index, we had a lot of that discussion on Debian private. We try to make a conscious decision about it, and there are a lot of people, like including myself, for instance, who think Debian private does not need to exist. So when we see a discussion that isn't private, we generally try to move it to a public forum as soon as possible. There are a couple of other efforts on this front, which, for instance, Debian private, there's currently some people working on the task of disclosing Debian private messages older than 3 years. But we can't do that without permission from the authors. So this is going to take a long time. But since 2005, there is the policy that messages will be disclosed after 3 years unless stated otherwise. So a lot of people say, like, please never disclose this message, and that's fine. But if you don't say that, it will be disclosed. Because we don't actually want to hide information permanently. But some people feel it's still a necessary forum. All right, I'll move on. A little bit of a status update to our Debian Women project. Unfortunately, I do have to report, and I had a couple of discussions the days before this conference. The project is sort of stalled. The Debian Women don't have, or the people who instantiated the project don't have the necessary energy at the moment to drive it further, to do events, to do what we had in mind, for instance, was like IRC tutorials on certain issues. That's not happening. There is no time, and we don't have very many new people. We still have activity on the Debian Women channel, and it's nice activity, so a lot of people hang out there even if they're not women, like myself, just because the level of interaction is actually quite enjoyable. But we only have about 12 active female contributors. So that's, the number is still very, very low. I hope to get a chance to talk to the Linux Chicks Australia and possibly get some information back from them, how we could, what we could do, because there is just not very much manpower available to do it, or women power, I guess, available to do it. However, I do have to say, in my experience, I think that those few women contributors, there are more, but those are the active ones. They are not only active on the Debian Women mailing list and in the Debian Women IRC channel. We see them all over the project now, and that's definitely good news compared to 2004, for instance, when no women would ever dare to go out on the, onto the official mailing lists, because it used to be the Debian cowboy days, but those are gone. And I think that's definitely a very, very good improvement. And it's, yeah, it's thanks to Debian women that these days are gone. And a lot of, like, pretty much everyone that I know appreciates it. So we can only hope that there's more positive influence from those people. What else has changed? Our package tracking system, packages.qa.debian.org, which is where developers go if they need information about packages, was remade. It has a beautiful CSS now. It also has RSS feeds for the news about a package, and added some more data from the metadata, for instance, the homepage field, which is now default. So you can, in the package description, already see what the software actually, where the home of the software actually is. We have VCS, version control system, fields in there. I'll get to those in just a second. Low threshold NMU has been integrated. That's an attempt to get rid of that single maintainer, don't touch my package or I'll be personally offended concept that has been around in Debian for years. So if you list your package or your, all your packages in low threshold NMU, that means that if somebody finds a bug, you are happy if they just go ahead and fix it, and you guarantee that you are not going to be offended by somebody touching or invading upon your space. So that's integrated now, and you can definitely, you can see right there, this is a package I can immediately update and get rid of the bug, and done. Debian maintainers is integrated. We can compress our Debian source packages now with vzip2, not only gzip. That's definitely a step forward. Better compression. Here's something that has been consuming a lot of time, and that's hopefully going to make our testing migrations much easier. Previously, Schlibs is our shared library system, the registration system, according to which the dep helper or dpackage tools would automatically calculate which are the dependencies, the library dependencies. And the way that used to work is with hard-coded version strings, so that you could never install software from testing because it would need testing's new libc6 on stable. So what's happening now is that dpackage now actually looks at the software and figures out which symbols does it need from libc6 and then sees which is the earliest libc6 that provides all these symbols, so that you can basically install software from testing in the future without upgrading your libc6, because the dependency is not hard-coded on the testing version, but the stable version will do. So that's a strong step forward, I think. We also have a new member, the first member in a decade or something like that, to our Debian system administrators team. And he's making some real good progress. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, for instance, just getting a piece of software installed on one of the infrastructure servers because you need it for testing. That previously used to take months, something like that, weeks. Then we introduced the request tracker for Debian admin, but that didn't really kick off. So it didn't take months anymore, but it took weeks. Now it takes about a few minutes, basically. You go on IRC because Peter is always online, and he'll just quickly do it. We'll see how long he will be able to keep that up. But it's a noticeable addition, so we're really happy about that. OK, let me end with some trends in collaboration, trends in development in Debian. I think this is where we're going to be concentrating our time in the future, in the near future. And that a lot of it is definitely centered around better collaboration. We already have a very, very strong trend towards team maintenance. So for instance, package Python modules, package games, package Perl are teams maintaining, for instance, all Perl packages, basically. And there's some synergy effects coming from that. And it was basically, it all started when a couple of developers introduced Aleith, aleith.debian.org, our groupware server in about 2003 or 2004, where everybody could get an account and where we could get hosting not only for CVS, like cvs.debian.org would do, but by then we could actually do svn.debian.org, and now we have support for all the version control systems. And it runs GForge, and the administrators of aleith.debian.org are basically now upstream maintainers of GForge. So we're very well integrated in that team, so we're hoping that we can integrate the other version control systems better into GForge. But there's a very strong team trend going on here, and it's getting more and more. I tried to get some statistics on this. I tried to do like date analysis on the repositories to show you how many packages or how it has grown in the past, but I completely failed doing that. So I apologize for not providing these data. But staying with version control systems, these things are totally finding their way into Debian. The VCS headers, which I've previously mentioned, are now in the packages files. They're still optional. They're not required. But basically, what they are is two ways for you to communicate to your users or other developers where to find the software, how it is maintained, which version control system. So you have VCS-browser, and that'll put you to the they'll give you the URL where you can browse the version control repository online. And it also has stuff like VCS-git or VCS-svn, which has the URL or URI that you need to clone or check out the entire repository corresponding to a package. And then it didn't take very long for depth-checkout to appear. So with depth-checkout, you can basically say depth-checkout MDADM, and it figures out where to get it. Provided you have the version control system installed, it then clones it, and you have it ready for work. So the remaining problem, what we have now, is not requiring everyone to know 12 different version control systems. There's work going on that.
Can you talk about that later?
Yeah, I'll get the next slide is actually going in that direction. So in terms of trends, I may be a little bit narrow-minded in that, because I concentrate a lot on version control systems. There are other trends. I just didn't see them, so I can't present them. But getting away from these headers, from the VCS headers, which are a good addition but not very necessary, you still kind of have to maintain the package once you have the code. And there are more difficulties involved with that. There's currently a bit of an uproar among the developers that the tools that we're using, like dpatch, dbs, and quilt, and so on, are highly inadequate, are causing more headaches than the time that they're actually saving. When I prepared this presentation, I basically, because I got very short notice, I went out on the mailing list and was like, people, help. Tell me what I should be talking about on Monday. So they did. And then the thread changed. So I'm linking to another thread here, which is about how can we get rid of crappy patching systems. It's a very typical for Debian, very, very long, elaborate thread already. But it might be worth to look into there if you want to get a feel of what's going on. So people are like, I hate CDBS. Or people are like, I can't possibly help out with this package. I know everything about the software. I can write it in my sleep, but I won't touch dpatch. These kind of things. And we're trying to address that. And I personally think that the way out of this is going to be the integration of version control systems with Debian. And these are already being used more and more. We have tools like svn build package, git build package, and so on and so forth. A lot of people are starting to use them, but there's not really an integrated way. So the way that svn manages branches, that the layout of the branches is entirely different from the layout of the branches with Dark's build package, for instance. So there is a problem if you want to do work on this package, and they use different version control systems. So there are efforts going on of trying to find a higher level conceptual approach to the workflow for Debian package maintenance. Ideally, not only Debian package maintenance, but including Fedora, including all the other distros, so that we basically have one repository for all the distributions and can profit from each other's works and exchange patches more easily. But I think that's going to be a rather slow process. I think it's an evolutionary process. Git has hit Debian very strongly. A lot of people have migrated to Git in the last year in favor of other, like specifically Subversion. That's a good trend, but there are, for instance, Mercurial. There is no reason for a Mercurial user to ever switch to Git. I think the two are functionally equivalent. So in order to find one way to do it, the one true Debian way, which is slightly impossible to find, but in order to go in that direction, we'll need to wait and see. Wait for one approach to be better than the other and be adopted quicker than the other. Or find a higher level approach to it that then makes it completely VCS agnostic, the approach. As part of the efforts to integrate version control systems with Debian, Joey Hess, whom I guess all of you know, he's one of our most prominent developers, has at one point in time, out of a discussion that Joey and I had on IRC, decided that he was not going to sleep this Friday night. But I basically signed off at like 11:30 and was like, Joey, we'll continue this discussion tomorrow. And I woke up in the morning and he had his first version out and told me to check it out. And what it does is basically it gets rid of that diff.gz file. What Debian packages are currently is the original tarball, then a description of the differences between the original and the Debian version, and then the DSC file, which is the source package description file, or whatever. He's getting rid of that. He has decided that we are now going to have source packages that are named, for instance, md80m-2.4.6-1.git.tar.gz. And basically, these just provide the entire Git repository tree in the package. Now, previously, attempts in that direction have horribly failed because suddenly your 300 kilobyte source package that has been in existence for the last 15 years is about 50 megabytes in size with Subversion and cannot be used because Subversion hard codes the URL and you may be using a different one. But with the distributed version control systems, every single clone is its own version control system, its own repository. You can use it completely distributed and independent offline. So why not just provide it in the package, especially since Git does a pretty amazing job at compression. So the increase in size isn't that big, and there is the added advantage of every single source package providing the history of the package, not only in the changelog, but actually in the code. Now, there is little reason to have the history prior to etch in the Lenny package, source package. I think our mirror operators would kill if we did that. So we're currently working with the Git developers to improve the shallow checkout feature, which is basically to say, check out everything since that tag. Now, the entire history is actually checked out, but the objects belonging to the commits and the trees prior to the etch release, for instance, are not checked out. They can be later pulled directly from the repository, but they're not part of the source package. That kind of limits the way you can use the software in terms of merges and so on and so forth. But I think it's a step in the right direction. This is currently a little bit stalled. Joey has found other toys to play with. But I think this is not going to be the end. This is not the last thing we heard about it. Now, as I said, the trends that I've identified so far are all version control based. I'm a little bit biased on this, and I actually would like to see most of you here at 11:30 today in this room. I'm going to talk a little bit about a workflow, a possible approach to packaging with version control systems. And I hope for input, especially if you have friends that are not using Debian but are involved in Fedora development or other tools. Try to get them here, because I really would like to solve this problem not only for Debian but solve it for multiple distros at once. Because Fedora and Debian are doing pretty much the same thing in that direction. So we might just as well learn from each other's experiences and get it right. So I think that concludes my presentation. Are there any further questions? Yes.
You mentioned that K3BSD is going to be added for Linux. So do you know when that will be included in testing migration?
The question is when K3BSD, the GNU K3BSD port, will be included in testing. I don't know. It is currently maintained on Debian-ports.org, so it's going to be a rather trivial step to move it into testing, but when that is going to happen, I don't know. I actually didn't even know that we're going to have K3BSD and Lenny until Friday afternoon. But, yeah.
We're going to get it in soon if we're going to release it at the end of the year, or else.
If they're going to release at the end of the year, yeah. All right, there's another question, yeah? The red guy behind you.
How is momentum in terms of shortening the release cycle? So, like, the Lenny being released at the end of the year is quite wild. But the way to shrink things, is it going to shrink more?
No, it's definitely not going to shrink more. We've had discussions about this, endless discussions, about the ideal release cycle length. And the result was 18 months as a target. The reason for that being that if we actually streamline our workflow even more, we could possibly push out a new release every 6 to 12 months, conceivably. Now, when we talked about that, we got like a dozen people writing in, was like, don't you dare to do that. I don't want to upgrade my systems more than twice, you know, every 2 years. Because one, you know, never touched the stable system. And even Debian has been approaching the limits of its upgrades. You can't really say to your Edge system, hey, you upgrade to Lenny, I drink coffee in the meantime. It doesn't really work that way anymore. We have to work on that. Ubuntu is doing some good work on it because they basically add the ability to run migration scripts as part of the upgrade. Debian doesn't yet do that. We might have to do it in the future in order to make it easier for the upgrades. But in any way, even if it's fully automated and you can go out to drink your coffee, if your multi-million-dollar industry depends on those Debian servers, you're not going to be done once you upgraded it, right? So you will have to do testing, and it takes time. And if you do that every 6 months or every 12 months, that also means that we have to shorten the security support cycles. So you are going to be forced to do it, pretty much like what we have with proprietary vendors these days. And people don't seem to want that. And on the other hand, staying a bit in reality, I don't think we can do it every 6 to 12 months. Once we have it released, there's basically like 6 weeks, 8 weeks of like, don't talk to me about releasing Debian. I don't want to hear about it. So I don't think it's going to happen. But in terms of the progress that we have made and whether we should be able to keep it up, the 18 months release cycle, I'll have to say that for a couple of, I think since the Sarge release, since our release team has tried to get their act together and have seriously learned in the process, we are much better in terms of releasing and planning a release than previously. For instance, I think it took about 6 days after the Edge release to have the new release schedule for Lenny posted. So, and with dates, you know, it basically said end of 2008 is the release date, and like bug RC count targets throughout. Now, that's a guideline. It's not a stringent schedule. We're not market-based. We are still a sort of volunteer-based, quality-based distribution. So I think we are, it's not, it wouldn't be so surprising as it used to be if Debian were to actually release in December 2008. It might not happen simply because we always put our release goals way too high. Now, with Lenny, actually, I tried to pull out some release goals and make a slide for this presentation. I didn't really find that much noteworthy changes. Simply, A, we don't know yet what version of X we're going to release with, which kernel we're going to release with, and so on and so forth. So I can't give you the sort of meaty information, the interesting stuff. All the release goals that are formulated are very much under to cover. They're low-level goals, quality goals. And it seems like they're not as high as they used to be. But I really shouldn't be talking about this anymore, because prior to the Edge release, I gave a couple of talks about what Edge is going to be like. And I said, just you wait, we'll actually do it on time this year. And we didn't. But only 4 months delay, you know, if we do 2 months next time delay, if we release in February, it's not bad. It'll make Slashdot. Join the team. Yeah, I guess in general, you know, I can said it before and I'll say it again. If you want Debian out earlier, there is work to do. You can join. And you don't have to be a Debian developer to do it. Okay, are we at the end of the questions? Because if we are, then I have a question for you. And do you want to join?
Well, this is a good segue into the next little thing, discussion about what can we do to improve Debian. So, firstly, thanks, Martin, for the presentation. So, you have a question for the audience?
There's my question. Is there anything, you know, as Jonathan was saying earlier on, don't give me the I want better wireless integration in Debian, because it's not really Debian specific. It's like, talk to the kernel guys. But is there something even on a higher level that you can think of what we could be doing better? Like, maybe you can tell us how we can get the Debian Women project back on track, and maybe you can tell us how we can actually get big corporations to start to use and fund Debian, and you know, all this kind of stuff. If you have anything to say, please do. Yes?
When people do research into free software, often they go to SourceForge and get caught looking at the irrelevancies of the free software world from the point of view of SourceForge. So I always tell them, if you actually want to understand free software as is used by people all around the world, you actually need to look at Debian, because it packages everything. But there's one huge area of work that really isn't packaged in Debian: web applications. What can we do? How can we work with web application developers to make it so that their software can be packaged and shipped and supported in Debian, much like your average desktop app and server app?
Is there anybody in the audience that feels qualified to answer that?
Sorry, what was that?
Comment.
Okay. Sean Finney is the guy that you want to talk to about this. He's the one that has been working on the streamlining and better integration of databases into packages and web apps. So the two packages, dbconfig-common and webapps-common, are his creation. And I think that's exactly the sort of goal he has, to make it easier for Debian maintainers primarily to package web apps. Now, I think before that can actually trickle upstream, we need to get it working properly. And you can't make a standard, right? The standard kind of happens. And once people, web apps writers who are not using PHP, are the ones that might actually look at Debian and be like, hey, this is smart, I'll do that. And so that. But in terms of, just quickly to your other point about research, it is true, a lot of papers focus on SourceForge, but I've actually seen a lot of work being done on the Debian archive recently, especially the domain of software product lines, which is all the mobile phones and car computer manufacturers. They're using software product lines to streamline their development, basically make it cheaper to serve more people, and they're doing research on the Debian archive simply because it's possibly the largest and at the same time best organized, like in relation to each other, collection of data about free software. So there's definitely a step upward to the previously. Yes?
So you mentioned earlier how you get large corporations involved to help fund some of that work, and you mentioned Google server code. That was an obvious one that caught a lot of people's attention 3-4 years ago. And so basically, and then I know IBM is using Debian a lot internally. I don't know how much externally they did with it, but they were partnering with Tuesday and others. So that's at least three of the bigger ones. And I'm sure that there's other efforts going on in the committee and the corporation to do group policy and stuff. So I don't think that's that often. I think overall, it's probably better than it is.
I suppose, maybe it helps if we actually distinguish two types of funding. There's the funding of the project at large, which means corporations paying money into the bank account, which already has a shitload of money and which we don't know how to use. Slight problem here, but there's the other type of funding, which I think you're getting at when you mention mentors, which is actually to pay people. Now, LCA has a special relation to our little sub-project called Dunk Tank. It didn't work out so well to pay our release managers. There are other projects, though, that are happening. One of them is called Friends of Debian, which is basically the idea that we provide the mentors. You give us what you want and the money. And then we'll find people and set them up such that they become team leaders. But to be honest, it didn't work. Companies don't know how to make use of it. Like, if I approach a company and say, what is it you want from Debian, and how much is that worth to you? They go like, hey, give me a number, please. Because they, as far in my experience, they couldn't work with it. Now, this is something that hopefully can get changed. And if you have input to provide, I mean, the Google Summer of Code is a good example. If we can actually get that into Debian, then I guess it would be beneficial. You, then you? I think there, oh my god, just became loud. I think there are not that many companies that are willing to pay their staff for maintaining Debian packages. So they kind of expect them to do it outside of work time. It is still a lower level of entry, that's true. Debian maintainer is completely new. We just added it a couple of months ago, so we have yet to see the effects of it, but it would be nice if that were panned out as you're describing. You had another point?
Yeah, you mentioned you've got several funds. Well, how about put together an exhibition for vendors where you effectively stage a conference, invite a bunch of vendors, have it at a hotel or whatever, and just get companies like hardware manufacturers interested in Debian as a primary option for when they supply the hardware.
That's not a bad idea. I do have to maybe state that we don't have that many access funds. We do have a lot of money for a free and open source project, but I don't think this is something. Right, this is something we could pursue, though, because you could get sponsors for that as well. Canonical. We have it. Ian, was it? Or I think it was Ian. Not only member, founder. Progeny? You got hired by Sun, but Progeny closed down earlier than that. I think they just discontinued. There is a pretty big market out there for enterprise Linux. I mean, Red Hat, SUSE, now Ubuntu is in there. This gentleman over there was suggesting that we spawn an enterprise Linux. Now, that kind of requires a lot of marketing, a lot of interaction with the bad world outside there, who are only money driven, and it also requires certification off Debian to run Oracle and that kind of stuff. And that,
yeah.
So that's kind of not in agreement with the Debian ideals in some ways.